This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade, and I'm the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 6 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, combat depression, work with cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition, I'll answer your nutrition questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. So this is a call-in show. Please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today we'll be talking about holiday cooking. It's 'tis the season for holiday parties, and for so many of this translates into a much busier schedule, longer to-do list. This is a really busy time of year, and I know that this is the time of entertaining. We're going to have guests in our home, going to parties, and it really is 'tis the season for food, friends, and family. We've dedicated this show to holiday cooking, how to make it fun, easy, and delicious. And I know that this is something that we have so many clients coming in this time of year that get stressed out about what they're going to make, you know, what they're going to do at holiday parties. So in this show, we're going to share some helpful tips on dishes that you can prepare in advance if you're hosting a party or bringing food to a party. We're going to talk about festive beverages and some of our favorite recipes that are healthy and easy to prepare. In our show next week is when we're going to talk about how to set yourself up for success during the holidays. You know, how to have a fun, festive holiday season and still feel good about yourself in January. So today, I'm really excited to introduce Zephyr Dunnicliffe. She's one of our Whole Food chefs on our Passionate Nutrition team and the woman I would choose to cater all my parties if I could. You can learn more about all of Zephyr's amazing services on our site, PassionateNutrition.com. Zephyr, it's so great to have you here.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So since we'll be talking a lot about food and cooking today, can you tell our listeners a bit more about what it means to be a whole food chef? I mean, what is a whole food chef?
So a whole food chef is somebody that focuses on fresh, unrefined, unprocessed foods. So I utilize foods that are found closest to their purest form that you would find in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. So foods closest to nature. I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when foods are closest to nature, this is what we see at Passionate Nutrition, where people tend to feel their best mm-hmm. and look their best, having foods that are more closer to their natural source.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so what exactly is whole foods cooking? I mean, how is that going to be different from regular cooking?
So it's the same as regular cooking in that we bake and we braise and we saute foods, but I really try to look at the food and utilize the type of cooking that is going to highlight the flavors and textures of that food. And I would also say that there's a really big focus on how I was trained in cooking vegetables.
Oh my gosh, we need that.
Yes.
People do not know how to cook vegetables.
Right. And not only do we learn how to cook vegetables, but we really highlight how great they can taste. There's mm-hmm. so many people who say they don't like vegetables, and I think that it's really just they haven't had them cooked properly.
I completely agree with you. I know that one of the things that we're recommending often to clients is to have more vegetables. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it has to be tasty. And it has to be really fast or else people aren't going to do it.
Right.
And imagine the types of vegetables that people are exposed to. I mean, think of a lot of the kale dishes out there that people have had and hated.
Totally. Yeah. I've had clients who say that they absolutely dislike kale. And I think it's that they've tried to eat it raw or they've sauteed it and it tastes gritty and bitter and doesn't taste really great at all. And so, you know, one thing I'll do is braise it because with something like kale that's a heartier green, it needs that technique to break it down, soften the texture, remove some of the bitterness, and really bring out the natural flavors. And then people actually really like it.
I know. Your vegetable dishes are amazing.
Thank you.
Great. So When did you first discover whole foods cooking? I mean, what inspired you to become a whole food chef?
So I was living in San Diego, and I was attending a school to go to massage school. And they also had different electives you could take. So I took a traditional Chinese nutrition course. And I started learning about the energetic properties of foods and the five elements. And our textbook was Healing with Whole Foods. And so I really started learning about how to use food as medicine and applying that into my life. And at the same time, I was working for a woman, and she had healed herself of stage 4 lymphoma.
Wow.
Using just her diet. Yeah.
Love those stories.
Yeah. So just seeing that, I really just started becoming really more interested in nutrition and whole foods and how to optimize your health in that way.
And I love that you provide that practical application for our clients. You know, we meet with clients all the time that really do want to use food as medicine.
Right.
You know, they want to follow what we're teaching them. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, maybe they have a busy schedule. You know, maybe they don't have cooking skills. You know, a lot of people don't. And so they don't have that ability to translate nutrition recommendations into action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I love that you're there and able to prepare foods that are delicious and help them meet their goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what do you think the biggest misconceptions about whole foods cooking is?
Hands down that it doesn't taste good.
Oh.
I think people think that it's boring, that it's bland, that you can't have fun foods, and that it really just doesn't taste good and that it's a chore to eat them. And I just, that's absolutely not the case. You know, fresh foods found naturally in nature are just so beautiful, and there's so many different textures and flavors that you can utilize and make food really fun and taste good. And that's what I try and do, is make food visually beautiful, healthy and nutritious, and also taste really good. You've had my food, so I think
yes.
You know that I'm, you know, really big on flavor and playing with fun spice combinations.
Definitely. And, you know, I think when people say things like, oh, this must be really healthy, that's one of the biggest insults.
Yeah, totally.
When people have food, it shouldn't be, oh, this tastes really healthy. It's, oh, this is so good. What
yeah.
did you do to it?
Exactly.
And that's the response you get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as a whole food chef, what type of services do you provide?
So I think my services are unique because at Passionate Nutrition, I am able to work with you and the other nutritionists there. And so I'm able to focus in on the client's nutritional needs and health goals. And I also get to know the clients and what they like to eat. So I work to create a customized diet based on what they normally like to eat, and then combine that with their health goals and then make up a plan for them. So it's food that's going to help them feel better and also really taste good.
Mm-hmm. And who tends to utilize your services?
I get all kinds of people. So people who have specific health goals, as I said, there's a lot of busy working couples who don't have time to cook, or couples with children and they just get really sick of eating macaroni and cheese every night. New parents who just don't have the time or the energy to cook and just need things really quickly. I've had single parents that don't have time to cook healthy, nutritious meals for their children. And also people who just don't like to cook. They want to eat healthy and they are sick of eating out and they just don't like to cook.
It's true. I mean, everybody has different passions, and food definitely does not have to be everyone's passion.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk food. It's the holiday season and cooking is a big part of this season for most of us. So what are some of your go-to dishes that you love to prepare this time of year, specifically when you're party planning?
So when I know I'm going to have a party, one thing I really like to make is a big appetizer platter with lots of fun finger foods. Normally, those are so boring, and it's raw broccoli and maybe some dip, and it's just not really appetizing. So I like to make one that's really beautiful and fun and tastes good. So I like to use a few different cheeses with different flavors and textures, have an assortment of olives. I usually have some sort of hummus, and around this time you could throw in fun ingredients like sweet potatoes or squash or beets.
Into the hummus?
Yeah.
Oh, what a great idea. And that's going to give it really beautiful color.
Yeah, makes beautiful color and adds a fun twist to it that people haven't really had before.
So how would you do that?
So you can bake it in the oven, or you can steam them and kind of just chop it into pieces. And when you're putting the hummus into the food processor with the garbanzo beans and whatever else you're going to put in there, just throw in whatever you'd like.
And okay, so if you are using sweet potato or if you're using beets, how much would you add?
Beets, I would do 1 to 2 medium beets.
Okay.
And sweet potato, I would do like 1 medium sweet potato.
See, I love this. I mean, that sounds so much more appetizing. Does anybody really like raw broccoli on a crudité platter?
I don't think so. No.
That's the thing we see over and over again. But I mean, even if we're going to have broccoli, I would at least like it if it was blanched.
Right.
Or just cooked a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Yeah. So that sounds like a beautiful platter, and you have so much color there.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's time for us to take our first break, but stay with us. And when we return, we'll dive into some delicious foods that are easy to prepare in advance and some great party pleasers.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once, and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Wisdom Within is a new talk radio show featuring psychic medium and healer Lindsay Paul and animal intuitive and healer Shauna Fisher. From your lunch break to vacation, from your car to your kitchen, from despair to newfound awareness. Join this enthusiastic duo as they fearlessly tap into the depths of wisdom and help you soar to new heights by answering your ultimate questions. Get your weekly dose of spirituality with a kick of reality rolled into 1 hour. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Get out of your head and tune into your soul.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Zephyr Dunnicliffe, one of our Passionate Nutrition Whole Food chefs, and she's talking with us about foods, party planning foods for the holiday season. Now, this is a call-in show, so we'd love to hear from you at any point throughout the show. So our call-in number is 425-373-5527, and we have our first caller of the day. Welcome, Henry. Thanks for calling Passion Nutrition Radio.
It's my pleasure. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So I just had a quick question. You know, the hard thing for me during the holidays, you know, I go out and buy these holiday cookbooks, and some of them have what I think are going to be tremendous recipes. The challenge I have is that I write the ingredients down on a piece of paper, and I go to the grocery store, and I have a really hard time with the grocery store because I don't understand what a lot of the ingredients are, and I think, like, for instance, in olives, there's so many different kinds, or even olive oil. Or then I go to the vegetable section, and it seems so overwhelming to me. I mean, do you guys help folks like me, you know, understand what to do at a grocery store and kind of how to navigate things a little better?
Yeah, thank you for calling, Henry. That's a good question. So we definitely do. We offer grocery store tours for people. I mean, if the grocery store is overwhelming, that's something that we can definitely help people with. And that means where we go, we set up an appointment, we meet at the grocery store and walk through the aisles looking at labels, looking at the options there are, so that to help educate people so that they can make better choices. That's more of a very practical, hands-on service that we do provide.
And then you deliver food to my house. Is that how it works, or do you make it at my place?
No, with Zephyr, actually what she does is, it's really up to the client, but most often what clients prefer is that the food is made off-site, and then it's delivered once a week. So what Zephyr will do is she'll deliver, you know, a week's worth of food at a time.
I see. Well, that sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Okay,
Zephyr, so what are some of your other go-to dishes that you love to prepare this time of year?
So as soon as the fall and winter seasons come, I get so excited to have some soup. It's so warming, and you can play around with so many fun different flavors and colors. So I have a few that I get especially excited for that are really simple and flavorful and beautiful colors.
Okay, what are they?
Okay.
I love soup.
So my favorite is pear parsnip.
Ooh, pear parsnip.
Yes.
I love parsnips.
I know, they're so good. I get really excited. So, and, you know, pears and parsnips are just both so unique flavors. Mm-hmm. And when you put them together, it's a little bit sweet and a little bit earthy. And so you really don't need a lot of other ingredients. You can really work to just highlight those two ingredients, and it's really delicious.
And is that more of a pureed?
Yeah.
Soup?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. What are some of your other favorite soup recipes?
So,
or not recipes, but ideas.
My other favorite is butternut squash with apple soup.
Mm. Oh, that's so pretty, too.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I usually top it off with some creme fraiche, and you can add some apple cider into the creme fraiche to add a little bit of tang to kind of counterbalance the sweetness of the squash and the apple. And a really fun idea for parties is to serve little soup shooters.
What are soup shooters?
So you get taller shot glasses, mm-hmm. and you fill them with soup. It's usually about 3 ounces. And you can arrange them on a platter so people can just take these little shooters of soup and sip them as they walk around.
That's such a great idea, because soup would be a difficult thing to have on a buffet,
yeah,
for example.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Because people aren't going to stand there with their bowl of soup while they're socializing. So I love that idea of soup shooters.
Exactly.
And okay, so, and they stay warm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're heat proof glasses, and they stay warm really well, and you can play around with different toppings.
Great. And along with that, I mean, I wonder if the pumpkin gorgonzola muffins that you make.
Yes.
That sounds like it would be a really nice combination.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Those are really fun.
And then you have other holiday recipes that I know that you've used a lot. Some seasonal foods that Zephyr also prepares is wild rice and pig. Excuse me. And although pig would probably be good in there. A little sausage with wild rice.
Yeah, absolutely.
But a wild rice and fig pilaf. Now, when do you think that would be a great idea?
I think that is a really great option if you're having a guest over that is gluten-free.
Oh, and so many people are gluten-free these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, people will tend to make more traditional stuffings, and so this is a really great alternative for that to offer to your guests.
And, you know, the colors, too. I mean, wild rice with that deep black color.
Yeah.
What other things do you put in there to give it, you know, sparkle?
I add caramelized onions, mm-hmm. and I roast the figs in the oven with honey. And then when I bring those out, I sprinkle them with thyme, which adds a really pretty green color.
Is that fresh thyme or dried?
Fresh thyme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I usually chop up some arugula to add some more greens, or you could use whatever green you have on hand. You could use spinach or kale or chard.
That sounds delicious. And another thing, you put a really great twist on mashed potatoes. I love your camembert mashed potatoes. So how do you do that?
So you pretty much do it at the end of the mashed potato making process when it's all whipped and combined. And then you stir in some camembert cheese, which just adds really extra oomph of creaminess. And it's so good.
That sounds delicious. And really, I mean, I love mashed potatoes, really good mashed potatoes.
Yeah, me too.
And then to add that camembert with it, it seems like it would just make it so smooth and even more delicious if they could be any more delicious than they already are.
They're super rich and delicious and creamy, and it's a hit every time with a lot of my clients.
Oh, how could you go wrong with that?
I know, pretty much you can't.
I know, that sounds so good. Okay, and then you have a roasted cauliflower that you put pears and hazelnuts and a sage brown butter. So what, tell us how you do the sage brown butter.
So I put butter into a pan and you start to melt it. And then as it cooks, you'll see it to slowly start to brown. And then I add in some ground dried sage into that and let that cook a little bit. And then I add a little bit of salt. And then once the cauliflower is roasted, you pour that all over and throw in some toasted hazelnuts and some sliced pears.
And are the pears, so those are raw? Do you do anything with
but
the
so
pears?
As you mix them with the cauliflower, they get cooked down. And then with the browned butter, because that's heated, as well, that starts to break it down.
That sounds really good. And is that a dish that's going to hold up well?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Are leftovers good with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know one of the things that our clients need all the time is foods that you can make in advance and that hold up through the week. Like I know I'd love to think about vegetable dishes that can last 2 weeks in the fridge, which I know sounds crazy, but that's what we tend to shoot for because, you know, people oftentimes when they think about having vegetables, they think about having salad.
Right.
Okay. Well, salad, it's a lot of effort and sure, it can taste great, but it's a one-time dish. You know, it's something that salad leftovers usually don't taste great.
Exactly. This is a dish that holds up really well, and the flavors actually get even better as it sits.
Oh, that's good.
That's another thing I was going to point out about soups and is why they're so great is the longer they sit, the better they're going to taste because all the flavors are sitting there together, combining, and just become more intensified the longer it sits. So that's a really great option to make ahead as well.
Yeah, so soup is something, you know, if you're going to have a party. You know, I know you've talked about before that if you're having a party, make sure that you plan in advance. And so soup could be something that you make in advance.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that soup freezes so well, too.
Yes, it does.
So as long as, I mean, if you're going through the effort of making the soup, you know, people may as well, you know, make a double batch, put half of it in the freezer. And the big thing, though, that I've found for myself and working with clients is that you want to make sure that you use a black Sharpie and write what it is. Because even if it was the best thing you've ever had, once it goes in the freezer and it's undistinguishable, you know, we forget all about it.
Yeah, then it becomes a mystery ingredient.
Exactly. So we want to make sure that you do some labeling with that. Okay, and then, ooh, your flourless Theo chocolate cake with cinnamon, mascarpone, and candied cranberries. That just, I mean, chocolate and candied cranberries, very festive.
I know. It's so fun. It makes such a beautiful presentation. The cake is completely rich and delicious. And this is great because it makes a square, but it's so rich, you really only need a small piece. And so a little goes a long way with this. And it's also gluten-free. The only ingredients are chocolate, butter, sugar, and eggs.
That is something that's perfect.
Yeah.
That goes along with what we talk about all the time that, you know, when you're eating something, you want to be able to recognize every single ingredient that's on the list. Those are all ingredients that our grandmother would have had. You know, they've been around for more than 100 years. This is how wonderful to have a dessert that could be, you know, so much better quality and taste so good at the same time.
Yeah.
And with that, it sounds like having a flourless chocolate cake would be a good idea because, one, you're not having things like gluten, which a lot of people are avoiding these days. But then also such a small amount, that could be easy for people to eat if it's on a buffet, like more finger food.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's see. You have other ideas, too. Like, actually, you do a lot with roasted delicata squash.
Yes.
So what's your favorite thing to do, and what's good about it?
I really like this squash because you can save a lot of time because you can eat the skin.
Mm-hmm.
With other squashes, people can spend so much time peeling the skin and getting really frustrated.
Right.
And so this is perfect because it's beautiful with the stripes on the outside and then the contrast with the orange on the inside, and you can eat the skin. So I like to roast it, and you can just eat it on its own as a snack. You can shred some Parmesan cheese, add some salt and pepper, and that's a really great snack. And I also really like to put it into salads. And that's another great one if you do it, say, with massaged kale or some wilted greens, and that will last you for the week.
And that's great because, you know, when you have that deep, dark green color, you know, adding the squash can give it that pop, you know, because you need, people eat with their eyes first. So we want to make sure that whatever food that people are making is really beautiful, meaning it has contrastive colors and that it tastes great.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just learned a really great tip yesterday. I was filming for Q13. It was a squash segment with Jess Thompson. And she had the great idea of using an ice cream scoop to get the seeds out of a squash. She demonstrated with the delicata how you cut it in half and then use an ice cream scoop and then to roast it.
That's an awesome idea. I'm going to have to use that.
You know, and then another thing I love about squash is that actually most of them, with delicata, I'll, you know, cut in half and put in the oven. But actually most squash I never even cut into. I'll just put it on a cookie sheet and put the whole thing in the oven, which sounds crazy. But I know for myself, I mean, the biggest hassle about cooking a squash is how hard it is to cut through. I feel like I get a callus on my finger.
Yeah.
And it's really tough. I feel like I need a like a mallet to be hitting my knife to get it through the squash. And so when I realized that you can just put a whole squash in the oven, you know, whatever your oven temperature is on. I usually throw it in when I'm cooking something else. Like last night I was doing a frittata at 350, so I just threw a big squash in, let it cook until it's soft, meaning that you can stick a knife into it, take it out, let it cool completely, and then you can cut it in half and scoop out all the seeds. I mean, it's all that hassle of cooking with squash, mystery solved.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier. I love that.
Yeah, it's way easier. And then, so even if... even if I don't have anything that I'm going to make with the squash, if I have the oven on, I'm going to throw it in there anyway. I'll throw in squash or sweet potatoes, and then I'll be able to take it out and just scoop it all out of the skin, put it in a Ziploc bag after it's cooled, and stick it in the freezer. So then if I want a quick squash soup or a quick sweet potato soup or even just a side, you know, it's ready to go.
Yeah, that's great. It's so nice to have on hand.
It's true. So it's time for us to take another break. And please stay tuned. When we return, Zephyr's going to highlight some of her favorite ingredients that she likes to use this time of year. And please feel free to call in with any questions throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear some of your stories and your favorite holiday dishes. And we'll be right back.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Are you eco-conscious? What about being humane conscious too? Choosing to live humanely includes buying cruelty-free products, learning where our food comes from, and how animals are treated. On Living Humane, we explore how our choices for humane living are ever-expanding and how connecting to all animals in our lives fulfills us in unique and wonderful ways. Join us on Living Humane, Sundays at 2 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, December 2nd, it's a Healing Sunday on Animal World. Joining me in the studio for the show, Jude and Paul Ponton, chiropractors and authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats. Learn all about this healing modality using tuning forks and sound and how you can actually learn to do it yourself. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Alternative Talk 1150 is on the interwebs. Dial us up at 1150kknw.com.
Happy holidays.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. Today I'm here with Zephyr Dunnicliffe, one of our talented whole food chefs, and we're talking about holiday cooking. What ingredients do you like to incorporate during the winter and holiday season? We would love to hear from you. Please call in with all of your questions. So, Zephyr, one of the things that we tend to promote at Passionate Nutrition is local and seasonal eating. And so this time of year, we have a lot of things like winter vegetables, which those are usually the ones that people actually really struggle with. They don't know what to do, you know, to make winter vegetables taste great. So what are some of your favorites?
I actually love winter vegetables, and I'm always so surprised that they have such a bad rap. They're so flavorful and beautiful and versatile. You can use them in so many different dishes. So obviously we just talked about squash, and I absolutely love squash. I was raised with my mom, and she loved butternut squash, and a lot of times our dinner was to just cut a hunk of butternut squash and roast it and add some olive oil and salt and pepper. And it's so simple, yet so good. So that always just brings happy memories. And
you get warm fuzzies.
I do. Warm fuzzies. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And squash is great. I mean, it's one of those foods that you can buy and keep on hand. I mean, squash is going to last for months.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have it, you know, where you buy it on Sunday and then need to cook it by Tuesday night. I mean, it's really something that keeps up so well. And there's so many health benefits to squash, too. I mean, that deep orange, yellow color that's in squash, that's going to mean that it's really high in carotenes, and which can be great for the immune system. It gives a lot of antioxidants that can help with aging. And one of the things that actually yesterday when we were filming for Q13 that I talked about, that really I was a little bit nervous because I thought, is this a little too out there for the Q13 listeners? But it was about this concept in Chinese medicine that's called the doctrine of signatures. And it means that whatever a food looks like, meaning what part of our body it looks like, it's going to be good for. Mm-hmm. So when you think of a squash, I mean, what does a squash look like?
It's oblong and oval, so the uterus.
Bingo!
Yay!
You got it. You're absolutely right. So, squash in Chinese medicine is thought to be really good for female reproduction.
Oh, cool.
So clients that are coming in that are wanting to get pregnant or that are pregnant, a lot of times we're talking about having a lot of that deep orange, yellow, a lot of that squash. You know, because you think about it, it's round. You have this hole in the middle with all of these seeds. Mm-hmm. I mean, very womb-like.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So we have another caller. We have Deanna calling from Bellevue. Thank you for calling Passionate Nutrition Radio, Deanna.
Hi.
So do you have a question or a story you'd like to share? We're happy you called.
I absolutely love your show, and I actually have a question. I really like how you covered about the adults, but I have a problem thinking or coming up with an idea with the vegetables available to cook for kids, because, you know, they're picky as it is, and I just took up cooking. So I was wondering if you can give me some tips that I can make some crowd pleasers, but for kids.
Deanna, this question is so perfect, because that's one of the big struggles with kids is getting them to eat vegetables. And okay, so first off, one of the things about this is that kids are kind of programmed not to like vegetables. I know that sounds crazy, but you know, kids eat based on what tastes good. And also, if we think about survival as a species throughout history, kids are drawn towards sweets. Because sweet throughout history has indicated that a food is safe. You know, it means that it's not going to have any poisonous alkaloids in it that could cause someone to die. So we're kind of, especially as children, really biologically hardwired for that sweet taste.
Mm-hmm.
And then breast milk is really sweet too. So with that in mind, actually making things a little bit on the sweeter side or even on the salty side, kids tend to be drawn to salt as well. You know, so a lot of times kids will like olives. Now, not that that's what we're talking about, but just they like that salty taste too. So if you're trying to get something like a dark green leafy in, something like kale chips can be a good option. Now, the big thing about this is a lot of times when parents are trying to make vegetables for their kids, they think, oh, I have to make this super healthy. So they go light on the oil and light on the salt. Well, kids aren't going to like it. You know, so really, if you're making something like kale chips, you want to put a lot of melted butter or a lot of olive oil and make sure that you add plenty of salt, because you have to remember we're competing with things like Fritos and, Funyuns or Doritos, you know. So when you're trying to pass off a kale chip, it needs to be salted. Other things, kids tend to like more sweet vegetables. Like, Zephyr, would you say like sweet potatoes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you're making regular mashed potatoes and you want to kind of up the nutritional power, you could throw in a sweet potato. And it doesn't necessarily change the whole color to be so dark, but it adds more nutrition. And you could do baked sweet potatoes, and then you can stuff them with really fun ingredients. I've had a lot of clients get their kids to eat sweet potatoes that way.
Okay.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is, you know, every child is different. So some kids really like foods that are going to be more finger food. You know, things like some kids really like raw foods. So actually, a crudité platter for some kids with some ranch dressing, which I know is the classic. I mean, there's kids that really like that. But then other children are going to like roasted broccoli, for example. So I know with a lot of clients, one of the things we talk about is roasting vegetables. And if you take broccoli and you peel the stem and then you cut the stalks and then you put it with a lot of melted butter. Yes, I said a lot of melted butter. And then some salt. And actually, I would add quite a bit of salt as well. And you mix it up and then you put it on a cookie sheet at 425 until it gets almost burnt. Like it gets really brown and crispy. You know, that crispness with the saltiness and the fat, that's a way to get kids to like vegetables. Now,
okay.
So basically the point with that is I would have a variety. Whenever you're including vegetables, have some cooked, have some raw. Kids tend to not go for things that are touching or where there's too many things combined. Like probably, you know, that delicious sounding wild rice dish that Zephyr was talking about. I wouldn't think that that would go over. You know, that's okay. More adult flavors and adult dish. So I would keep it more separate.
All right. Well, so if I'm hearing you right, just instead of giving it bland, put it in the oven, add salt and butter to it, and then keep it colorful. Would that be the big thing? Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so nervous using the oven. So can I just kind of keep looking at it and check on it to make sure they're okay? Is there, if I let it go too long, would it be too bad, or is it just crispy's okay?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yes, crispy is fabulous. And, you know, when you're roasting vegetables, personally, I like them roasted so long that they're almost burnt, like where they get really crispy. And even last night, I made some parsnips where I cut it up almost like a potato chip and roasted it in the oven. And there are no parsnips today. That was supposed to be part of my lunch. That did not happen. They were so good.
Well, thank you so much. I feel a little bit more confident. I think I'm going to be very brave and try butter. I never cook with butter, but it just sounds so delicious. And I think with what you describe, I mean, kids must go for it. I really appreciate your tip. I love your show.
Well, thank you. And just another thing, Deanna, before we go, something that can really help with having kids eat vegetables is having it be more fun and getting them involved. So I know as parents, we get busy, and a lot of times it's so much easier for us to do it ourselves. However, if there's any way that you can get your kids involved with vegetables and the cooking process, so even if it doesn't matter what age, you know, if you take them to the grocery store, which I know can be tricky in and of itself. I remember learning how to go down the aisle with the shopping cart where just in the middle so nothing could be grabbed. But, you know, taking the kids to the grocery store and having them pick out fruits or vegetables, you know, based on how it looks. And then if they're old enough, getting them involved in preparing the food. You know, anytime you can get them engaged in the process, they're going to be so much more excited about eating it.
And then
thinking about getting that sweet flavor in for kids, like another thing, I remember I used to teach cooking classes for kids a lot. And if you have a spinach salad that you put in Parmesan and then strawberries, if you slice strawberries, so you get that little bit of sweetness with it. And then you do a balsamic vinaigrette that's on the sweeter side. So maybe you add a little bit more honey or a little bit more maple syrup. That sweetness helps balance out the bitterness of the spinach. And I remember when I would teach those cooking classes, parents would show up and they'd say, "What? My child ate spinach salad?" They were amazed.
That's exactly it. I haven't had so much success with presenting a dish. Adults always look at it and they think it's healthy, so they take it. But I have a good feeling that this particular holiday season, I'm going to be a favorite aunt. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so Zephyr, when we're thinking about having more seasonal foods, because that's what we talk about all the time. We talk about eating with the seasons and bringing back some of that autumn color into the diet. It sounds like squash is a really great option.
Yes.
And sweet potatoes. So what are some others that you enjoy?
I also really love root vegetables. So, you know, you've already talked about parsnips and carrots. And right now, a lot of times you'll see different colored carrots. There's white carrots and purple carrots and bright yellow carrots, which can be really fun and add some really beautiful color to your dishes. I love rutabagas and turnips.
Rutabagas and turnips. Wow.
Yeah. Those are great. You can roast them,
mm-hmm.
and you can mash them. You can puree them. You can put them into salads. They're just so versatile.
You know, I always get confused between the two. Like, even though I cook with them a lot, I forget which one is which.
So turnips are going to have the more round shape and purpley skin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see that, then you'll know it's the turnip.
Okay, great. And you know, that reminds me. So there was a study that was done. It was related to chicken soup. You know how we often hear about it, this time of year, people are not feeling well and they are starting to come down with something, how the remedy is, let's give them chicken soup.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, there was a man, I forget which school he was at, but it was at the University of Nebraska, I believe Creighton. And he decided that he wanted to do a research study to find out, really, is there something about chicken soup that is healing? And in his recipe, he includes rutabagas and turnips and these things. And in the study, it actually found that people that had this chicken soup, they tended not to get sick as often. And when they did get sick, that it had a shorter duration. So really, throwing in some rutabagas and turnips, those root vegetables can be fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things about root vegetables is that any vegetable that goes deep into the earth, you know, it's going to be extracting the nutrients from the soil. So they tend to be really, really nutrient dense, root vegetables.
Yeah, that's why I love them. They taste good and they're good for you.
Great. So it's time for us to take another quick break. So stay tuned. And when we return, Zephyr's going to share her favorite festive beverage recipes. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions at any time throughout the show. We'd love to hear your own holiday recipes or favorite ingredients. So our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'll be right back.
Happiness is finally mine today. Guess I'm just a lucky guy, and here I'm about to tell you why. It's strictly on account of my sweet potato pie.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
For home repair, remodel, and construction advice, ideas, and stories, tune into Constructing Whatever. With over 40 years of combined experience, hosts Tim, Lynn, and Anna talk about whatever, from important need-to-know topics, taking your questions, latest industry news, and a whole lot of personality. Start your weekend with us, Constructing Whatever, every Saturday at 10 a.m.
This week, stop being nice and start being naughty, Saturday at 10 a.m.
Christmas. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
It's strictly on account of my sweet potato pie.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Zephyr, one of our amazing whole food chefs, and we're here talking about holiday cooking. So before we dive into beverages, let's talk about special diets. You've shared some amazing ideas. Do you have any tips for entertaining guests with special diets? I know this is an issue that probably comes up for a lot of people, especially in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, this is coming up a lot, especially now where dairy-free diets or gluten-free diets are more popular, or people with food sensitivities or food allergies. And when I'm having somebody come over to my house, the last thing I want is for them to feel left out or leave feeling hungry. But the holidays are really great because there's so many dishes that you can really have something for everybody. So it's easy to fit in diet or foods to accommodate a lot of different diets. So one thing you can do is serve the meal buffet style. And so that allows people to see what's available in the dish and then pick and choose what they would like to eat.
If it's buffet style, do you put a little card as to what's
in
it? Yeah,
I like to do that. If you don't want to do that extra step, you can't, but that's a really great idea so people can see what's in the food. As we said earlier, you know, an option to trade out traditional stuffing is to do something more like a wild rice stuffing. A simple way to make an entree vegetarian is use vegetable broth instead of chicken broth or something like that. Or you can use coconut whipped cream as opposed to regular
coconut whipped cream.
Yeah.
Can you buy that or do you make it yourself?
You can buy it in a can, but I like to make it myself. And so you open the can of coconut milk and, you know, there's usually that really thick layer at the top. So you can scoop that off and you just whip it with a mixer, add a little bit of vanilla, and it's really good.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so before we talk about your favorite festive beverages, actually, we'll go back to that. We had a caller. So we've talked about food. Let's talk about festive beverages. So what are some of your favorite holiday drinks?
My absolute favorite is mulled wine. I get so excited for the holidays to make this because it just makes the whole house smell so good and festive. And it's just like, you know, the holidays are here. And it's actually really simple to make. My preference is to make a syrup first. And so you do that by putting, I usually use about a quarter cup to half a cup of sugar. I think most recipes use a whole cup, but I prefer it not to be so sweet. So you do a quarter cup to half a cup of sugar and add a little bit of wine and then add whatever spices you like. So
what are some examples of spices?
So I really like to use, I put in peppercorns. I put in bay leaves, I put in cloves, I put in star anise, and then some cinnamon sticks and fresh ginger slices. I go crazy.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's a lot.
We need some mulled wine
now. It's so good. I also really like to put in peels from oranges and lemons and limes and then squeeze the orange juice in there. And so you mix that all together and let it simmer to create a syrup. And you don't want to pour all the wine in at the beginning, otherwise all the alcohol will cook off. So you want to just make a syrup, and then you add in the wine and let it simmer a little bit and let all the flavors blend.
How long do you let it simmer for?
I would say 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah,
so not that long.
Not too long, just until it's warm. Oh, I also put a vanilla bean.
Yum.
Slice the vanilla bean and throw it in. It's really, really good. And if you don't want an alcoholic beverage, you can do that same thing with apple cider or sparkling apple cider or cranberry juice. And it's just as delicious.
Oh, that sounds great. And okay. And so then you cook it all together and then you strain off the bay leaf and the.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Strain all that out. Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It's super good. I also really like to make homemade hot chocolate.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's so good. And that's really great because you can control the amount of sugar that goes into it.
So what do you put in your homemade hot chocolate? Any pizzazz? We know the basics.
Yeah. I really like to add cinnamon and a pinch of cayenne, which adds a really nice kick. It's really good.
You know, that sounds so delicious. And you know what I found, too, is that so when you make something like a homemade hot chocolate like that where you have the cinnamon, you have the cayenne, adding a pinch of salt.
Yes. I totally agree.
It just brings all the flavors together. I find that so often, even with beverages, I'm putting a little bit of salt because salt is the magic that unifies flavors and makes them one.
Yeah, exactly. The salt in the hot chocolate just takes it to a whole nother level. It's amazing.
Yeah, it gives it kind of a different creaminess.
Yeah, it does.
And it just makes it smoother. Mm-hmm. So for all of our listeners out there, what I would highly recommend is just try this at home. It sounds crazy. Make your hot chocolate and try it. Then add your pinch of salt and then see the magic.
It's a big difference.
I'll never go back. No. And any other festive beverages that you like?
I also really like to have some, you know, organic fruit juices on hand, and you could cut those with sparkling water. And they're mm-hmm. really pretty, and you can serve them in wine or champagne glasses so people can still toast, and it's a fun festive touch.
And I think it's so nice, you know, to have alcoholic options and then have non-alcoholic yeah. options so everybody can be included.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And because I think that so often we'll go to a party and there'll be really fun alcoholic beverages, but if somebody isn't able to drink alcohol, you know, they're going to want to have some fun options as well.
Yeah, you don't want to get left with just water.
Exactly.
You want something fun too.
So as always, please feel free to call in with any questions anytime throughout the show. We'd love to hear your own holiday cooking ideas and also any festive beverages that you love. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527. Now, Zephyr, as a Whole Foods chef who works as a personal chef and you specialize in catering, how do you stay calm and relaxed during the holiday season? I mean, this is your busiest season,
yes.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Super busy.
So do you have any tips for not getting too frazzled by the holidays, especially with cooking? I know that it's something that our clients and all of us can get really overwhelmed with.
The biggest thing that you can do to help make it easier on you is to plan ahead. I like to have a plan, and I like to know what I'm going to be doing on what days. I make lots of lists. My husband's always making fun of me because I have lists to make lists.
Are they sticky notes?
Yeah, they're all over the house. And one thing that I really struggle with is when I feel like I'm hosting, I feel like I need to do all the work and it needs to be this spectacular presentation. So I think one thing people can really do to help themselves not feel so stressed is to designate help to others. It helps cut down on your work, and you can do something simple like mashed potatoes or a salad, and it just cuts out an extra step for you. And people like to participate in the holidays, and they like to cook too. So they have a special dish that's traditional in their family. It's really fun for them to make that and bring it.
Yeah, it's probably fun for them to share. And I'm actually going to dinner next Friday with a colleague of mine that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
And, I loved her email because she sent me something and she said, is there anything that you'd like to make? She said, we're probably going to be making lamb. Is there anything you'd like to bring? And I thought that was just such a classy way,
yeah.
To designate and delegate. I mean, she's a busy professional as well.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, do you have any secrets for whipping up delicious meals with less time and less mess?
Things that we've talked about, such as having the squash or the sweet potatoes in the freezer, planning things ahead. Like you could make a really yummy butternut squash and sage lasagna, and then you could freeze that and bring that out when it's time to entertain your guests, or have the soups ready and have those in the freezer ready to go when you need them.
That sounds great. And Zephyr, thank you so much for joining me today. And I really can't wait to incorporate your delicious recipes and party tips into party planning. I mean, really, thank you for being here. You've offered us a lot of great suggestions. And so please join us next week for Passionate Nutrition Radio, and we'll be talking about how to have a fulfilling holiday and feel good about it in January, because so often there's this dread that happens around the holiday season. While it's this fun, joyous occasion, people are concerned about those extra pounds that we tend to hear about happening, and that it ends up being very stressful for them. So it's going to be myself and then also another Passionate Nutrition nutritionist, Emily Bell, who's going to be joining me, and we're going to be sharing some of the tips that we provide to a lot of our clients that come in to meet with us. So, and remember, to learn more about Passionate Nutrition Radio, please visit us, or actually not just Passionate Nutrition Radio, Passionate Nutrition, please visit us at passionatenutrition.com or give us a call at 206-595-0000. 1-800-878-0376. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Jump, 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 do, 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 do.